European nations continue to loosen lockdown restrictions, but it isn't enough to steady the price of oil. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In Germany, Europe's economic powerhouse, small stores, bookshops, and garages can reopen their doors starting today. That's as authorities say the coronavirus outbreak is coming under control. The BBC's Jenny Hill reports from Berlin.
Germany's strategy for combating the coronavirus, early mass testing and an effective lockdown, has been the focus of international attention. From today, small shops can reopen and older pupils, particularly those with exams, will begin to return to school. It's a cautious start, too cautious for critics in the hospitality sector, which will remain closed. The authorities, conscious of a rise in the number of deaths and infected healthcare workers, have increased testing capacity and now recommend the wearing of face masks in shops and on public transport. The Chancellor Angela Merkel's next step will be closely scrutinised too, but Mrs Merkel has no say over how the leaders of Germany's 16 states implement the relaxation of measures. Already there are significant regional differences over when and how schools and businesses will reopen.
The BBC's Jenny Hill reporting from Berlin there. Elsewhere across the continent, countries are taking different approaches toward easing their restrictions. Starting today, Polish parks and Norwegian preschools will reopen. The Czech Republic will allow open air markets to trade, and in Albania, mining and oil industries can get back up and running. However, Spain, which has one of Europe's strictest lockdowns, and France have decided to hold off on relaxation measures for a few more weeks. Despite a slow easing of those restrictions, global stock prices are fluctuating today, and oil has suffered a fresh drop. U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate crude plunged nearly 20% this morning, below $15 a barrel. That's the lowest price since 1999. Joseph Gatula, head of oil and gas analysis at Fitch Solutions, says the problem is storage is just running out because demand has dried up.
The price movements we're seeing in West Texas Intermediate this morning are really a function of traders realizing in a big way that oil storage in Cushing is starting to fill up quite quickly and looks like it will be at maximum levels within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
With fewer places to store oil now, how possible is it that producers will have to either just keep crude in the ground now, or will there have to be even further production cuts?
There will have to be future production cuts. The alternative for producers would be to sell oil at a very low price, which for most won't make sense financially. And there's even talk of crude producers would pay buyers to take the crude off their hands to free up supply, which seems like an untenable situation for most drillers. So what they'll do is probably leave the oil in the ground at this point.
The current contract for oil that investors have been buying and selling is expiring tomorrow. So if investors are not able to sell their current contracts, that means that they'll have to accept delivery of this physical oil. So essentially what we're seeing is part of this pressure on oil today is investors just looking to sell that contract so they don't have to deal with trying to figure out where to store it. And that means that the next contract will present a new set of issues.
That's correct. So based on what we're seeing now, the drop-off in demand for key U.S. products, including gasoline and jet fuel, that's really looking like it's adding up to the point where the available crude is being diverted to storage rather than to refiners. And that drop-off is basically going to have us exceed the maximum levels that we've seen at Cushing, the storage facility, within that kind of 3 to 4 week period. So that's why we're seeing intense downside pressure on next month's contract for WTI.
Throughout this coronavirus crisis, we've kind of been looking at the price of oil and demand for it as kind of a proxy for how the economy is performing. And you'd think that with countries around the world, especially Europe this week, loosening lockdown restrictions, that would be a good sign that consumption would pick back up in the not too distant future. Is that not the case? Should we not expect that?
Well, I think we should expect that at some point in the near term. Virus measures will loosen, and then we should see things return somewhat to normal. But with that, we're still stuck in the kind of the same supply-demand dynamics. At this point, supply is greatly overmatched to what demand is. And now the expectation when things normalize, what that demand will look like, say, in 6 months.
Joseph Gadula, head of oil and gas analysis at Fitch Solutions. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
Airlines have been struggling with a plunge in passenger travel amid the coronavirus crisis this year. U.S. airlines have asked the government for support, while Virgin Australia has gone into administration after canceling all of its flights and failing to restructure its $3.2 billion in debt. Today, South African Airways is close to collapse. The BBC's Matthew Davis explains the impact of the coronavirus was just the final straw for the already struggling company.
One of Africa's oldest carriers, South African Airways, has been losing altitude for some time. It hasn't turned a profit in 9 years. SAA has received more than $1 billion of bailout money from the government in the last 3 years, and last year was put into a local form of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But in the wake of the coronavirus, the South African government has decided that it's better to spend money on healthcare than funding an already ailing airline. As such, the administrator in charge of SAA's Chapter 11 proposed not renewing any staff contracts beyond the end of this month, meaning 4,700 people will lose their jobs. The unions have rejected this and are considering their next move. I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
Finally, scammers are trying to use coronavirus to trick Google email users into handing over their personal data. Fraudsters are impersonating authorities, including the World Health Organization, and trying to persuade victims to download software or donate to fake causes. Every day, Google said it's blocking more than 100 million hoax emails sent to its 1.5 billion users. Tech firms say the virus may now be the biggest phishing topic ever. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.